Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Y'all alive and awake this morning? All right, well, I'm glad that y'all are here. Do me a favor and go ahead and open your Bible, turn your Bible on. We're going to start today in the book of Jonah. We're going to be in chapter 1. And while we're doing that, let's go ahead and put our hands together and welcome in those listening to us, on watching online. We love you. We're excited that you are here, also in spirit, and which doesn't mean much, but hey, that's okay. That's okay. And so I'm so excited. Anytime that I get to share this platform with people like Pastor Tim and our other pastors and elders, I'm so honored. And I just want to honor Pastor Tim, because I don't know about you guys, but I am convinced that he is the best pastor ever. He is one of the healthiest leaders. He is the healthiest leader I've ever served under. And I am so excited to just be an extension of him and the ministry that he does here at High Ridge Church. And so can we just honor him and welcome, not welcome, but just honor him and thank him for who he is and what he does. And so for those of you that maybe you're new here, this is the first time you're here, I want you to know that we've been praying for you. That as we're here doing what God's called us to do, we've been praying for you, and we know that you're not here by accident. You're not here just because the wind blew you in here, but you're here by God's divine hand, that you're here because there's a reason that you need to hear the words that are being spoken today, to be in the presence of God today. And I believe that God is going to change your life today. And so let me ask you guys a real quick question. How many of you have ever been afraid for your life? I'm not talking like you watched a scary movie or a grasshopper flew in through the window and landed in your mouth, which sometimes, let's be honest, that's pretty terrifying. But like, honestly, you thought you were moments away from death. Maybe it was the scariest moment ever. Okay, so let me share a quick story with you. I was about 12 years old just a couple days ago. And no, I'm just playing. I say that right after I squeak. You know, I gotta do that. So I was about 12 years old, and my dad and I, we would take an annual hunting trip, and we'd go up to northern Missouri, and I'm originally from Arkansas. Yeah, y'all don't got to say nothing. It's fine. It's fine. And room full of Texans. And so we would travel through the night, and we would hunt early in the morning. Once we got up there, it was about an 8-hour drive. And so we're up in northern Arkansas going through the mountains, and it's pitch black, and you can't see anything. You know, you have no cell phone reception, and it starts to rain. And it starts to rain more, and it starts to rain more and heavier, and to the point where it's raining so hard it's hitting the truck in waves. Have y'all ever been out in the weather when it's doing that? And it's just your windshield wipers can't keep up, and it's just so crazy that you slow down to you're creeping down the road if you're moving at all. Well, we just stopped because we're up on the side of cliffs and all this crazy stuff, and we put our hazards on, and my dad had one of those handles right here that I could grab, and I'm not going to say what that's called in Arkansas language. It's kind of like the oh poo handle, right? That's the oh man, this is the handle we grab when things are going south. And I remember grabbing that handle and looking out the window, and it being so like one of the craziest storm I'd ever seen outside. And I'm in this truck, and I remember sitting there, and we were dead silent. I didn't say anything. But as I'm sitting there, the truck picks up off the ground and scoots across the road sideways. Yeah, that was like, I need a brand new pair of underwear kind of scared. Like that was not a good thing. And long story short, I'm here in the flesh today. Hallelujah. But we made it through that storm. We went and we had a great hunting trip. And as we were coming back, we were looking, as we thought, you know, this is probably about where we were. We were looking, and we realized all the tops of the trees were like knocked down and knocked out. Like a tornado was touching down right where we were. If we had been a few minutes later, it would have been bad. And so I was scared for my life. And in that moment, I just froze and I didn't do anything. And isn't that the way that fear kind of works sometimes? That when we get afraid, we just clam up and it's a true case of fight or flight, right? And we don't know what to do, but our nature takes over. And have y'all ever felt that way? Have y'all ever been in a place like that? Well, I want to talk today about a guy in the Bible, and y'all are going to get a kick out of today. It's one of my favorite get a kick out of. That's an Arkansas thing. I don't know if y'all get kicks out of things here in Texas, but I get a kick out of this story, and it's the story of Jonah. So how many of you know the story of Jonah? Maybe you're raised in church, you're familiar with it, Jonah and the whale, right? Well, we're going to jump into this today, but before we do, I have a quick joke for you. Who are the two luckiest people in the Bible? I know, I'm in danger in this service of saying it. It's Adam and Eve, because neither one of them had mother-in-laws. So, let's read. I just play. This is my mother-in-law right here. I knew this was going to happen. She's looking at me like, boy. And she's the best thing ever. I love you. You know I love you. That's just a joke, Mama Grace. I'm just playing. Okay, so all right. So, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Let's start reading. So, it says this. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And so this is a really pivotal moment in Jonah's life. And this is the moment that a lot of us pray for, where God actually tells us what to do and how to do it. How many of y'all are like, God, just tell me what to do? I am a hot mess. I don't know what I'm doing. My shoes are on the wrong feet. The house is burning down. It's a bad deal, right? Like for you ladies, you've had dry shampoo in for like 19 days in a row now, and it's just bad, right? And so this is the moment that most of us would kill for, is the moment that God comes and he gives us really precise directions with our lives. And this is what we call the call of God. And so I love this, because this can be a really big thing or it can be a really little thing. God can speak to us and say, hey, this is who you're going to be. This is what you're going to spend the rest of your life doing. Or it can even be small stuff like, hey, I want you this week to pray specifically for this person. Hey, I want you to be mindful of what's going on at work. I want you to be in prayer and lifting up these people. They're going through a hard time. And God gave him specific direction. But it says this, and this is what's frustrating about the story of Jonah, but we all do the same thing if we would be honest. It says in verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. But Jonah ran away, and he headed to Tarshish. And so the ESV version says this. It says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so, unfortunately, for whatever reason, whether it was fear or it was rebellion or it was indifference, he just didn't want to, or I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I had already had plans to go to Tarshish, Father, Lord, and you're interrupting my plans by wanting me to go to Nineveh. How many of y'all are like, God, if you would just let me work out my 5-year plan, like my life would be perfect, but instead you're telling me to do all this, So for whatever reason, Jonah doesn't do what God's asked him to do. And so I believe there are 6 things that we can pull from the story of Jonah, and we're going to work through those today. But the first one that we can learn from the story of Jonah is this, is when I give in to fear or rebellion, I choose to leave the presence of God. When I give in to fear or rebellion, I choose to leave the presence of God. And one thing you need to know, friend, is that the riskiest place that you could ever be is outside of the presence of God. You need to hear me. Even in the middle of the scariest times in our life, if we were walking in God's presence, that we are safer than we could be anywhere else. And so let's just be real for a minute. We crave comfort. We crave stability, financial stability. We want health. We want wellness. We want to be where we know every single thing that's coming around the corner. We don't want to be in a place where there's any uncertainty in our life. But let me just tell you this. With God, risk is always right. Risk is always right. If he's calling you there, it's you need to be there. You're going to be safer there not knowing what's coming than you would being in what's familiar and being exposed, because you're out from underneath the presence of God. And so let me just tell you this, that God will hardly ever call you to just keep doing what you're doing, or just to stay in bed and sleep, or just to do nothing. Like, God rarely calls you to remain as you are. Like, the thing that I love about God is that he loves us so much that he loves you exactly as you are right now. Like, whether you were out getting crunk in the club last night or you were laying in bed reading your Bible, like, he loves you so much just as you are. whether you're in a great place or you're in a terrible place. But he also loves you so much that he refuses to leave you there. He's not going to leave you there. And so God will always call you to places that are hard to travel to, that demand more of you, that stretch your faith. And so he wants you to have crazy faith to believe him and what he's called you to do. And so it picks up again here in verse 3. It says this. It says that Jonah went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. This is where it gets funny. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. So here's the second thing that we can learn from the story of Jonah. Your disobedience toward God doesn't just hurt God. It also hurts everyone else around you. And so I was in a little bit of a debate with myself on how to word this, because I originally had it, and it's probably in your notes where it just says, your disobedience toward God doesn't hurt God. It just hurts everyone else around you. Because here's the deal. I believe that God, his will is going to happen on this earth, whether I am obedient or not. Because God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he's going to give me a chance to play my part. And if I'm too foolish that I don't step into it, he's going to find someone willing, right? That's the God we serve. But I also believe that God is a God of emotion and that he wants us to be used by him, because he knows that all the joy and the peace and the fulfillment that you're actually chasing is on the other side of being in his will, right? And so like a lot of times we think that the small little things that we do doesn't really hurt us or hurt the people around us. You know, looking at this pornography, it's the last time. It's not going to hurt anybody if they don't know about it. You know, cheating on this test, this isn't hurting anybody. No one knows about it. Why is it a big deal? You know, hey, this is a multi-million dollar company I'm working for. What's it matter if I use the company card to pay for my gas? Like we do these small little things that we think aren't really that big of a deal that actually is a pretty big deal. And so, I slid my notes way over there. Okay, so we've convinced ourselves that running from God, that the things we do in secret, it doesn't hurt the people around us. But no, actually what happens is when we make poor decisions and we run from what God is calling us to, it can cause distress in everyone else's life. I want you to put yourself in these sailors' shoes for a minute. They, as sailors, they got to know what the weather's doing, because they're not going to go out into the ocean and get caught in a storm. So they're probably feeling really prepared that, hey, we have everything nice and tidy. We're about to go out and do what we need to do. I know how the weather's going to be. And then here comes this cat that's done made God of heaven and earth mad, that's getting on my boat. Like, I want y'all to think about that for a second. They've done their job. They've prepared. But now here comes Jonah ruining everybody's day. And so this is the question that we have to ask, and that I have to ask myself, and that I want to challenge you to ask yourself, friend, is whose life are you affecting right now because of disobedience to God in your own life? Who are you affecting? And so here's where it picks up, and this is in verse 5. It says, but Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep, which is funny to me, because back when I was in college and I had more to do than anything else and I was stressed out, I didn't know what to do. What do I need to do? I need to take a nap. I just need to take a nap, you know. I think this is kind of where Jonah was. He's like, you know, where are my Laterno students at? Come on, preach at me. All right, so it's like, hey, I got so much going on. It's all going to burn down anyway. I'm just going to go to sleep, right? And so he's in a deep sleep. Verse 6 says this, the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God, and maybe he will take notice of us so that we don't perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you? In verse 9, he answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And they freak out. Like, you're the one. You did it. We're all going to die because of you. And it says, this terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? What have you done? You're going to kill us all. And it says that they knew that he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. Verse 11 says, the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what do we need to do to you so that this sea will calm down for us? And this is the thing that I want us to focus on in verse 12. This is Jonah's response. He says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. And this is where we learn the third lesson from the story of Jonah, and it's this. It's running in fear leads to discouragement and the tendency to give up. Running in fear leads to discouragement and the tendency to give up. If I run in fear long enough in my life, what's going to happen is that I'm going to get really good at breathing and not living. Y'all need to hear me. If you run in fear long enough and run from the call that God's put on your life, you might be alive and you might be paying the bills and everything might look good from the outside and you might be breathing, but you're not really living, because he had better plans on this side of the call that's on your life. And so that's where Jonah was in this moment. He was alive, but he wasn't living. And so how many of y'all have ever felt that way? I'll just be honest. I've felt that way before. I felt like, man, you know, I'm not really where I need to be. I'm not really doing what God's called me to do. And Jonah turns full-blown Eeyore right here. And he knew that his disobedience caused the problem, and he was now content to die. So I want you to think about this. Just a few hours earlier, God gave him a choice. And if he had chosen to follow after God, he'd have been in the middle of God's will. But now he's in a place where he's so mentally, physically distressed, disturbed, that he has made up the decision that, you know what, just go ahead and kill me. Just go ahead and kill me. And sometimes we're one decision away from turning anxiety and depression on its head. Sometimes we're one decision away from the life that you're living but you're miserable in. If you would have just said yes, and guess what? We're going to get to this later, but you get the chance to come back and say yes again and get to live the life that God's called you to live. And so here's where it picks up, verse 13. It says, instead, the men did their best to row back to land. They were pretty good guys, okay? They didn't really want to kill this guy. But it says this, they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased. Then it says this, then they took Jonah and they threed him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Verse 17, and this is where it gets even funnier. It's funny now, I'm sure it wasn't funny then. But verse 17 says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So here's the fourth point that we can learn from the story of Jonah, and it is this. Sometimes God has to let us get swallowed up by our failure in order to actually save us. Man, I wish it wasn't this way. I wish this wasn't the way that it was. But have y'all ever been talking about someone, maybe gossiping just a little? You don't have to raise your hand. But you're talking about somebody with someone else, and one of you say, you know what? They're just going to have to hit rock bottom. Like, how many of you, that's a pretty common expression, a pretty common phrase. And it's pretty funny, because I think about hitting rock bottom. I got a quick joke for you. What did Jonah say when he got eaten? Well, okay, never mind. All right, so, you know, because he got eaten by a whale. Okay. So the thing I want to ask you today is this, is are you going the right way? Are you so consumed by your fear that you won't step into what you know God has called you to? Or, let's just be honest, are we just being disobedient? Maybe even you're not fearful, but you just don't want to do it. You don't want to go the way that God's called you to go. You don't want to step into the thing God's called you to step into. Maybe it's dishonoring the people around you. Maybe it's just rebelling against God. Are you so stubborn that we're just choosing to do our own thing? Because think about it. Jonah had no idea when he was getting on that boat that in a few short hours, he was going to be sitting in the belly of a whale
saying, well.
And maybe that's you right now. Maybe you're running, but you have no idea what's coming, and you could save yourself a lot of trouble by not getting on that boat. But let's jump back to Scripture real quick. It says that the Lord provided. Who provided? The Lord provided the fish. God actually brought the fish to eat Jonah. Well, Pastor Zach, I just can't believe that a God that loves us would ever do something so cruel. Well, let me remind you of this in case you've forgotten. God cares so much more about your soul than he does your comfort. He cares so much more about your soul than he does your comfort. A God that only cares about our comfort would have let Jonah take a really sweet nap on that boat and then pull up to Tarshish, no problem. But the God that we serve is more concerned, so much more concerned with our obedience and the condition of our soul that he will literally bring a fish to eat you. Literally. So here's where the story picks up. Once he's in the belly of the fish, Jonah chapter 2 tells us the prayer that he prays, and I'm glad that he prays because if I was in the belly of a fish, I would pray too, right? And I'm glad that he's finally getting his head on straight. And so it tells us this in Jonah chapter 2, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I'm telling you guys, I can't help but laugh when I think about this dude that gets on a ship, gets thrown off a ship, gets eaten by a fish, and gets vomited onto dry land. He was not ready. He ain't ready. He was not ready for something like this. And it's funny because in chapter 3, it says this. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And so the fifth thing that we can learn from the story of Jonah is this, and this is my favorite one hands down, is that even after our disobedience, our assignment does not change. Even after our disobedience, our assignment doesn't change. And so this is the best part of the story, and it reminds me of my son Graham. So Graham is almost 3 years old, and if you know my little boy, he is as sweet as can be. And he's learning right now all the things he needs to learn to be a respectable, honorable, sweet young man. And he's really good at about 95% of it, but 5% of it he really struggles with, right? And that 5%, the majority of that right now, the biggest struggle we have in our house with Graham is that when it's time to go to bed and I tuck him in and I'll tickle his back, he loves that, and I'll pray over him and I'll tell him, I'll say, hey, listen, you got to stay in your bed tonight all night long or you're going to get a spanking, okay? And he'll say, okay. Well, I'll step out of the room, I'll say, I love you, and I'll shut the door. And about 45 seconds later, here comes Graham out of the room. And so he knows what he's supposed to do. But he continues to not do it. And so I'll grab him and I'll get down on his level and I'll say, hey, Bubba, what did I tell you? And then he'll realize, oh. You said that I was going to get a spanking if I got out of the room. And I said, yeah. And so it's a hard conversation. And sometimes daddy gives in and he's too soft and he doesn't give him a spanking. But most of the time, Graham gets a spanking. And we go back to the room. And I'll tickle his back again. And I'll pray over him again. And I'll walk out of the room and I'll say this. Now, Bubba, tonight we're going to stay in our bed all night long, and if you get out of bed, you're going to get a spanking, okay? And so it's my job as the father to continue to give the report, to continue to tell my son what he needs to know to be an honorable and respectable and well-raised young man. His disobedience does not change my message. You need to hear that today. So whether you've been running from God for 6 months, for 6 weeks, for 6 years, for 60 years, whether you're in a different town working a different job, what he told you when you were 18 at the altar doesn't change. The assignment that he gave you that you are continually running from, that you have not stepped into, it never changed. You are called to be where God called you to be, ultimately. And so
So what I want to challenge you with is this. In Proverbs 13:24, it says this. It says, whoever spares the rod hates their children. Not like just doesn't spank them, but hates their children. Why? But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. And I love the fact that it says is careful to discipline them. Because some of us got disciplined and I'm like, Daddy, you're not being careful. Right? Right? Like you need to be more careful. Right? Anybody ever get like you're getting a spanking and it ends up here somehow or down here and it's like, man, Daddy, you ain't watching what you're doing. Right? But that's the God that we serve. He's careful to discipline us. And he doesn't beat us to death. He doesn't verbally attack us. He doesn't make us feel like dirt because we made a mistake. He's careful to discipline us. And it's because he loves us. And so he's that committed to you. He's that committed to seeing the best version of you. Because the best version of you is always on the other side of stepping into what he's asked you to do. And so God wanted Jonah to just be obedient. And if Jonah had been obedient from the beginning, it would have saved him a really, really rough couple days. It would have saved him from being in a storm, being thrown overboard, being eaten by a fish, and being vomited by a fish, right? And here's the funny part. He still ended up doing what he's supposed to do. He still ended up in the same exact place. It makes me think about the story of Moses and the Israelites when they had a straight shot to the promised land. When they crossed the Red Sea, they had a straight shot, and it would have taken them about 18 days to get there. But instead, because of their disobedience, they wandered around for 40 years. And took the scenic route. But that was not the plan. And so when our plan aligns with God's plan, it gets streamlined. When our plan is a whole lot different than God's plan, we'll probably still end up in the same place, but it's going to take you about 10 times as long as it should have. And so he still ended up in Nineveh. So the story picks up here. And so after this, and God gave him this direction again, Jonah goes to the city. I'm imagining he arrives in the city and he smells like whale throw up, right? Maybe he got a shower before then, I don't know. But he starts preaching to them, telling them what God told him to say, and something miraculous happens. They repent. The whole city turns. And here's the part that I want you to listen to. Chapter 3, verse 10 says this. It says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. And so the sixth and final lesson that we can learn from the story of Jonah is this. You'll write this down. There are people that are depending upon your obedience to God. There are people depending upon your obedience to God. This city would not have repented had it not been for Jonah. We need to understand that God had a plan for the city, that he was going to bring disaster on the city, but because Jonah finally, after a really rough couple of days, decided to get smart and get obedient, he saved an entire city. So I want to ask you, what's your city look like that you're called to save? Because there are people in your life right now that are dying and that are not ending up in heaven because there was not a voice to speak truth into their life. And maybe you think that you're just minding your own business and living your life, but you know that God's put a word in your heart and you need to step out in courage and give that word to the people that need to hear it. Maybe there are people in your life right now that are sick, that need a healing in their body. And maybe God has told you, hey, if you'll go, you need to go and pray for them. You need to pray for them every day. You need to go and you need to lay your hands on them. You need to pray for them. Maybe there's a healing on the other side of your faith. Just maybe. There are people right now in your life that are so bad off that they're weeks, they're moments, days, weeks away from committing suicide. They feel like they have no hope. And maybe you have a word from the Lord that you need to share with them that would turn their life around, not just on planet Earth, but for the rest of eternity. Maybe, just maybe, that's sitting inside of you and you have the option and the choice to be obedient or not. And so let's just get practical. And so let me just recap the six things that we can learn from the story of Jonah. I'm going to go through these fast just to make sure that you got your notes. Number one is, when I give into fear or rebellion, I choose to leave the presence of God. Number two, is your disobedience toward God doesn't hurt God. It just hurts everyone else around you. Number three is running in fear leads to discouragement and the tendency to give up. Number four, sometimes God has to let us get swallowed up by our failures in order to actually save us. Man, dang it, God. Number five, even after our disobedience, our assignment doesn't change. And then number six is that there are people in your life that are depending upon your obedience to God. And so how do we address all of this practically? Like, hey, Pastor Zach, great message. I'm going to not get on any ships and avoid big fish. But how do you boil this down to something that sticks, that you can remember, something that you can apply to your life? And so I've done my best, and I'm going to give you one thing today that I want you to take home with you to remember, and it's this. Remain obedient in spite of your fear. Remain obedient in spite of your fear. When we are disobedient to what God is telling us or asking of us, it causes problems. If he had been obedient in spite of his fear, he wouldn't have gotten thrown off of a ship or eaten by a fish. And the thing that I think that we all need to recognize in this story is that God held up his end of the bargain for Jonah. And let me just tell you, God will always hold up his end of the bargain for you in your story. And so what does that look like for you? What does that look like for you? And so I'm going to end today with one last thing that I think that we just need to wrap our mind around, and it's just this one sentence. Why should I be afraid when I serve a God that never fails? A God that never fails. He doesn't have a 99.5% success rate. He never fails, ever. And his plans always work and come to fruition.
Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you walked away from him and he knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to HighRidgeLV.com/give. If you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.